What's going on? I'm walking. What's going on, everybody? Oh, have I missed y'all? Welcome to episode 37 of the Opinionated Brother Podcast with your boy Devontae. We are here after a damn near two week break. You know what I'm saying? I missed y'all, man. You know, I missed y'all. What's going on? How's everybody's week's been? You know, it's been a great 2 weeks, guys. It's been a really, really great 2 weeks. I needed the break. When I tell you I needed the break, it had to happen. It had to happen. I didn't want to take the break. Trust me. I was going to record my podcast, the week that I was in Detroit and, the weekend that I was in, Detroit and, I was just like, you know, something's not feeling right. Something's not, you know, manifesting in my system to record anything. And I don't like to rush anymore. You know, I like to listen to my first mind. And if my first mind says, take a break, take time and relax, that's exactly what I did. And I want to shout out everybody that was a part of the Opinionated Music Month this month. I know it's been a little rocky, but I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank Fly Young. I want to thank the Frequent Flyers You know, they've been huge supporters of the Opinionated Brother podcast for a long time, and I want to just appreciate them. But, you know, I chose Walking for my last song of the month because I just feel as though, you know, we're all in this journey right now of trying to find oneself, right? Everybody's, you know, I feel like everybody's trying to rush to get to their destination. And I feel like Walking by Mary Mary is a beautiful song to play in this opening episode, I think, to end the month for real, for real. Because I want people to understand that you don't need to run all the time. You know what I'm saying? Because whoever that you pray to, me in particular, you know, my God, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. you know, you don't have to run. You know, I think that if you listen to me and if you read my blogs, I think that through my experiences, you will see that, you know, a lot of things I rushed a lot. I've rushed life. You feel what I'm saying? For a minute. And I had to pause myself. What we don't understand is that growth kind of, in your growth, you have to pause. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't necessarily mean your growth stops. It just pauses. You know, you take a minute to understand where you were, where you are, and where you're going. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to take those times to appreciate and understand. And the crazy thing is, when I took this break, I still had healing to do. You understand what I'm saying? I still had some healing to get through. Understand me when I say that. Like, I had real healing that I needed to do for me. Not for nobody else, but for me. It was healing on my part, and it's crazy because when I tell you guys, I listen to my podcast every time when I need to get me together, because I know that me gets me together quick, and it's so fast and so quick. And when I listen to my podcast, especially the Power of Healing episode, it was powerful in my own way, you know. And the healing process for my situation, for the situation that I was going through, is now in process. And I feel so much better. I feel so much lighter. I feel that I can move better. I can maneuver better. It's amazing that you sometimes have to understand that you hurting somebody else hurts you, and that you have to sit there and, you know, kind of heal that wound. You know, you have to, especially if you know you did the right thing in hurting that person, you know, because you knew it wasn't the right situation at the time. You know, you have to heal yourself. You have to go about it in a different lens, and you have to find the healing. You know, you have to heal you, and that's okay. I have to forgive myself. Like, okay, you know what? I hurt this person. You know what I'm saying? I hurt multiple people. I forgive myself for that. I don't, you know, I acknowledge the fact that I have hurt you. I think the problem with what I was going through during this past week is that I acknowledged it. I wasn't fully aware of the healing. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't fully healing myself. So once I said to myself, you know what, I forgive me, you know, I have to keep moving forward, you know. And it was so amazing right then and there. The healing process just started, you know, and I'm always healing. Everything is a journey. It's never a race for me. You know, it's not a race for me anymore. It's a real journey. So, you know, the Power of Healing episode was really, really powerful, man. If you have not gone and listened to it, I think y'all need to listen to the Power of Healing episode. It's crazy. Let me throw a little shade real quick. It's very wild how when I do episodes like that, you know, it's only a handful of my listeners who will listen to that. It's so crazy because I don't think a lot of people want to hear that, right? And I don't care what you want to hear. I'm giving you what you need to hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm giving you what you want to hear too, but I'm also going to throw in what you need to hear, because sometimes we all need to hear that, me included. You know, I let God speak through me when I do this. So even me having to go back and listen to myself is something that I need to hear. It's not necessarily what I want to hear, but it's something that I need to hear. You understand what I'm saying? So I say that to say to my listeners, to my fans, to everybody listening to me across the spectrum of the world, this podcast is not something that is a want. You understand what I'm saying? It is really, it's both. It's a need and a want base. You got to understand that. You got to understand. My microphone is over here acting a fool. Come on now. Hold on, y'all. My microphone acting up. Let me get together. There we go. Lord have mercy. Okay. So, yeah, man. That's all I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? That's all I wanted to say in the beginning of the show. My microphone over here acting real. You acting totally different. You're acting real different. But listen, we have a jam-packed show. You know what I'm saying? You already know what kind of show we got. Y'all already know the first half of the show. We're going to talk about so much stuff. It's so much stuff that I don't even want to get into the list. You feel me? Because it's so much. I don't even want to read the list because I just want us to just get into it. But for the second half of the show, for the opinionated topic of the week, I'm going to get real one more time. We're going to talk about, is there a problem with men showing their emotions, right? Because if you know me for real, I'm an emotion, I'm a big ball of emotion. You understand what I'm saying? I wear my heart on my sleeve and I don't care what anybody says about that. I'm very in touch with my feminine side. You understand what I'm saying? However, don't get it twisted. I'll beat your ass. No, laughing but serious. But I think I want to talk about that. I want to dive deeper into that question. Maybe bring up hypermasculinity and everything like that. We're gonna dive into it in the second half. But let's just dive into the first half of this show. You feel what I'm saying? Because it's so much that has happened over this past week and a half. You know what I'm saying? Bump the 2 weeks. It's been happening this week. Excuse me. Let's go albums real quick before we get into the real stuff. Let's talk albums. So Beyonce and Jay-Z dropped their album like a week ago, and I've listened to it. It's pretty good. I like it. One thing that me and my bro was talking about is that Beyonce is literally becoming the GOAT. If she's not already, you know, and I've had my ups and downs with Beyonce's music, but every time I listen to her, it's just, she becomes more and more immortal every time I feel. And I'm not talking about like on a godly sense, you know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about like, this woman cannot be touched. Like, it's wild. Like, you can't outbody Beyonce on a track. You know, now don't get me wrong, I'm not a part of the Beehive, you know what I'm saying? Because I have my criticisms about Beyonce, but, and you know, the Beehive, they don't see, there ain't no flaw, she everything, which is a great argument to have. But also, one thing that I love about this album is that if you listen to the whole album, it literally felt like they was in the bed when they took them pictures. In the bed recording this album, this whole album. It felt so un-studio-like, un-generic. It was so authentic. It was just like, listen, we talking to each other. We're going to put some hooks on this thing. We're going to get some producers up in here. And we just going to go, period. I feel like they was in their house in the studio. I mean, or in the studio in their house. And just started to record. Said, fuck it. We just going to say some shit. You know what I'm saying? And these videos of Jay-Z, y'all, and the internet is really undefeated with trolling and memes and everything. Because when Jay-Z's picture, when first of all, let me just say Beyonce looked fire in both pictures, okay? When she was wearing a thong with the booty out, I said, oh my God. Oh my God. And you know what? Shout out to Jay-Z. You feel me? Because he doing it for all those ugly motherfuckers in the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the most handsomest nigga in the world. Do you hear me? But I think I'm pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm pretty handsome, pretty cute, pretty fine. You know what I'm saying? And he just doing it. He doing it for all the dudes. Especially all the ugly dudes. You know what I'm saying? He was holding her. His arm looked tired. You know? And I was just like, damn. He really doing it. And everybody like, why Jay-Z holding her like that? Jay-Z look like a piece of fried chicken from Churches. I'm like, y'all, chill. First of all, chill on my mans. First of all, why you mad? Why you? And see, this is why you won't get. This is why you will never be married. This is why you can't hold your pretty wife like that, or any pretty thing like that. Okay, that literally showed me that, you know what? It don't even matter about how you look. No, on some real shit. It really does not matter how you look, because we've all said. I've said for years, that I don't understand why Beyonce even chose Jay, because Jay was ugly from the get-go, okay? He was not a good-looking man, but baby, that money, okay? And I think, you know what, they have genuine love. Seriously, I think you can see the genuine love between them. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're on top of the world right now. They're royalty. They're America's royalty. And I think I need them to go to Trump and blow the White House up, bro. I don't know what the hell I need. I need them to do something, because this shit is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to Beyonce and Jay-Z for their album. What is it? Everything is Love? Everything on Love? Something like that. But like I said, the album is pretty dope. It sounds like they literally just casually just said, we're going to be naked and in this bed, get the microphones and, you know, get some producers and let's just do this. So shout out to them. Kitsy Ghost, Kid Cudi and Kanye's album. I loved it. Kitsy Ghost is one of my faves right now. But Ye's album is like at the top right now for me. But Kitsy Ghost is a great album. 7 songs again. And I think my favorite song on the track is, let me pull it up really fast. I think my favorite song is Reborn. I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. You know, like that's probably one of my favorite songs. I love Feel the Love. I can still feel the love. It's a great. I love Kanye's production. You know, and then my baby dropped her album. Drop the bomb. Tiana Taylor just dropped KTSE. Keep that same energy. Listen, I wanna just one of these songs. This song right here is about to be a banger. I just wanna let y'all know this. I'm about to play. Hold on. Listen, when I heard this whole album, everything, this whole thing, I've listened to it twice already. Probably like 3 times, 4 times, maybe. Work This Pussy. Never Would Have Made It. Like, this whole album is dope. I'm sorry. Like, No Manners, Gonna Love Me, Issues, Hold On, Hurry with Kanye, Three-Way. Three-Way is the... Listen, I gotta let y'all listen to Three-Way.
Like, we can hear that. Oh, sweet love. No, Soon as we done, she leaving right out the door. If you can keep our freaky secret on the down low, we can have a special thing going on. Three way, I couldn't wait to have with you, cause I know it's time you on. So let's do it, babe, cause two ways are better than one. Three way.
What? What? Now, the only problem I had with this whole Teyana Taylor release album thing is Teyana Taylor decided, well, no, actually, Teyana performed at the BTX experience, because, you know, the BET Awards or BET Awards weekend is this weekend, and the BET Awards actually come on tonight. And what I had a problem with is that Teyana Taylor's album was supposed to drop Friday night, I believe. It didn't drop till Saturday morning, maybe? Saturday afternoon? I didn't see it until that morning, maybe like 10 o'clock yesterday on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, yo, I feel like all her momentum just like low-key shifted in a way. You know? But this album is fire. This album is it's amazing. Never Would Have Made It. Oh, wait a minute. I gotta play that too. Oh, never. She did that. She did this all out.
Never would have made it. Never would have made it without you.
Man, okay, so if I can put all Ye's albums in chronological order, it would low-key be Teyana's, Ye's, Kissy Ghost, Nas, and then Daytona, right? Loved all the albums, but that would be my chronological order. That's just me. If anybody know me, I'm an R&B bird. I love R&B neo-soul. Like, I literally hit a bottle of wine up yesterday and drunk the whole bottle listening to Music Soul Child, Kim, all night. You feel me? Like, this is her album was just so dope. I just don't like the fact that it wasn't released on that day, you know, that night when she was performing. And it was just, I just didn't like the release time, you know, I just felt like she just needed to be released before her performance. You know what I'm saying? Because that would have pushed some more album sales and definitely gave her a lot more momentum to perform some new songs on the stage. But shout out to Teyana Taylor. Shout out to Good Music. Shout out to Ye. Shout out to everybody on that roster who put out these albums, these great albums. They were amazing. Let's go back. Hold on. So let's talk about Permit Patty, y'all. So if y'all don't know, y'all knew about Barbecue Becky, who called about my mans who was grilling, you know, he was using the wrong charcoal and bullshit. So now we have Permit Patty, y'all. Permit Patty came and tried to sit here and basically call the popos allegedly call the police and on a young 8-year-old girl who was trying to sell some water out her stoop. Bruh. Oh, y'all getting out of hand. Like, what is... And then when the lady recorded her and said, yeah, boo, you know, you about to be, you know, shown to her. You need a permit to... You don't have a license to sell water. I never knew you needed a license to sell water. Well, and the crazy thing is, if you go to so many cities in America, you will find that about 65 to 75% of the people that live in those cities literally are on the streets selling water. Why? Because it's hot outside. I don't think they have licenses. So the Huffington Post decided to interview old girl, and she said that it was a joke, quote unquote. It was a prank to basically just get them to stop yelling, you know, we're selling water for $2 and everything like that, because she got irritated and everything like that. You know what? I'm going to save this. I'm not. Because I was going to save it for the Trump segment, but no, I'm not. I'm going to go into this. You know what? White folks that are having a problem, a huge problem with minorities, people that don't look like you, people who get sunburned like you, people who get baked like you, people who look like raw chicken like you, and this is not to all the white people, but it's mostly to the about 70%, 75%, 80% percentile. Shut the fuck up. Seriously. Really shut the fuck up. Because you literally have nothing better to do than just to make a trend out of something, huh? You want to sit here and just want to make this a thing. Like, ooh, you called for what? For what? And then you call security. Security wasn't going to do nothing. What was security going to do? Buy about 3 bottles of water? Okay? Like, you call the police on an 8-year-old girl to sit here and do what? Arrest her for selling water? The police probably would have bought some water. Like, what is... You have no, like, there is no type of morals and type of values instilled in this. And like I said, I'm not talking to all the white folks out there, but I'm talking to majority of y'all. Damn near all of y'all. Yeah, damn near. Because all of y'all think that y'all can do this. And this is not it. Because you know what? One of my Instagram followers said, you know, for his birthday, he wants to have white privilege. And I said, you know what? For my 25th birthday next year, that is what I want to. For my 25th birthday, I want white privilege. I want to know what that feels like. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to still figure out my black privilege right now. And I want to know what the fuck it feels like to have white privilege. What does that feel like? You understand what I'm saying? I want to know. So for my birthday, to any of the white folks that's listening, I want to have white privilege for my birthday. My birthday is February 1st, 2019. I will be 25. And I want to know what white privilege is. I want that birthday. I want that for my birthday. I don't want no jewelry, no headphones, no nothing like that. No, I mean, you can send me money. But I want white privilege because this is ridiculous. This is getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. First barbecue bacon, not permanent patty. Like, it's ridiculous. You're doing too much. So I'm over it. That was ridiculous. Let's talk about MJB, bro. Mary J. Blige. So if you know me, I love some R&B. Mary J. Blige is one of my favorite artist. A lot of people don't like her because they say she can't sing, but I think she can. And I've been listening to her since like the 90s. I was born in 94, so you can just see. My mama started me on some real, real good neo soul R&B music. Monica, Brandy, MJB, Missy Elliott. Like, she had me on Aaliyah. Like, she had me on everybody back in the 90s and the 2000s. So MJB, Mary J. Blige just got officially divorced, and I'm so, so, so happy for her. I just want to give her, like, literally a round of applause. Like, I'm just so happy that she is finally divorced, bro. Because, listen, my mans was trying to take all of her money. You feel me? And MJB is trying to make that money stretch. She already owes some people. She already owed the government. And you trying to take all this money from her. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to shout out her and just, you know, just say, yes, Lord. You know what I'm saying? Thank God. You understand? Like, I don't know, but I can just imagine that sticky situation in that moment. you know, having to divorce somebody who you really cared about, and now they're just trying to do you shiesty, you know, trying to do you dirty, you know, and everything, and just trying to take all your money. And that's kind of wild, you know, you want spousal support. I'm like, bro, you the dude. Why are you not working too? You know, like, I don't care if you were her manager and that was just your only job. No, you better start working at Chick-fil-A, my nigga. I don't give a damn if you tasted the good life. You better taste that damn Chick-fil-A burger and start working there. Hello. Hello. Welcome to Chick-fil-A. Can I take your order today, please? You better get it together because you don't have her no more. That's a wrap. It's a wrap. So shout out to MJB for getting divorced finally, and it's finally free. Yo, so DWP season 3 is coming to Netflix. Turn up, drop a bomb, baby. First of all, if I can find my bomb. There we go. Wow, then it didn't want to drop. All right. Yeah! One more time. Yeah! So, dear white people, if you know me, you know I love Dear White People. Dear White People is coming back with a season 3 because Netflix was trying to play my show and not try to give them a season 3. And I was really upset because I was like, you gave fuck-ass 13 Reasons a season 3 and not Dear White People? Oh, no, you will not do that. So I'm so excited to see season 3 of Dear White People, The Order of X, everything about what's under. Oh, I'm just so excited. Like, my mind is so just like, you know, it's in that world. Like, do we have some? Excuse me, do PWIs, you know what I'm saying, Ivy League schools that are here, do we have Order of X's like that? Like, oh, stop playing. Like, do we have that? So I'm just like, I'm excited to see all my favorite, like, that show, that cast, I love it. What else? I want to say something else. Oh, yeah. I think they're Emmy nominated. I don't know if they're going to be Emmy nominated for next year, but that Dear White People needs to be an Emmy nominated show. And I hope they win. Honestly. They're amazing. They're dope. They're just it's real. It's really, really real. If you've been to an Ivy League school as a black person or a PWI as a black person, you will definitely understand this show. Let's get a little serious. You feel me? Because now we done got all of the, you know, the good stuff, the funny stuff out the way. And now I want to get into some serious shit. So XXXTentacion, if I said his name right, was killed. He was killed in his car. He was only 20 years old in Florida. And he was shot, I think through the window maybe, or maybe through the door. But he was shot in the front seat of his car. And ever since his death, so many people have reached out to him, or not even reached out, but just, you know, sent their condolences, and his music sales have gone up. His, you know, Spotify has put him back on their music list and all this jazz. And I wanted to address all of this that I've been seeing on social media, on articles, on blogs and everything. Let me say this, and I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for it, but I don't give a damn. Here's the thing. A lot of us, including myself, did not like XXXTentacion. And I'm going to say that again. A lot of us did not like XXXTentacion. Okay? A lot of us did not like him. You understand what I'm saying? Celebrities did not fuck with him. Shade Room did not fuck with him. You understand what I'm saying? And it was to the point where his music replicated, you know, or didn't replicate who he really was. And it's a lot. And when I talk about the internet kings of rap, that is exactly what I mean. It's a lot of these internet kings of rap, not hip hop, of rap, who sit here and try to portray in their music something that they're really, really not. Tekashi 6ix9ine, Lil Pump, shit, to me, Lil Uzi. It's people like these, you know what I'm saying, who are not living this life for real. Now, don't get me wrong, I never lived that life. My mama kept me solely away from the drug and gangbanging type deal. But don't get it twisted. I have family who's in that. I have family. And they never sang and was like, no, you're not doing this. You're not even, this not even your cup of tea. You will die up on these streets. We not even letting you have that. That's how the streets was when I was growing up. They saw me, they knew me, and they like, no, you're not about to do it because you got a future. You know what I'm saying? That was the thing about street niggas. Street niggas was like, gang niggas was like, they already knew their lifestyle. You feel what I'm saying? They knew their lifestyle. But when they seen a young nigga who was actually doing some shit, they like, nah, bro, you're not getting into this. You're not. You have a great support system, like, you're not doing it. We going to make sure you stay in school. Our lives is already set, but we going to make sure you stay in school. But they knew who they were. When it came to people like XXXTentacion, his death is unfortunate. Yes, it is. His mother cannot get him back. No, she cannot. But you know what? What we have to understand is through his music, he was portraying something that is not, that was not his life for real. Understand me when I say that. He was not replicating his life for real. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, a lot of people sit here and falsify their music. You're right. You're right. But when it comes to hip hop and gangbanging and shooting and killing motherfuckers, it's only a few rappers. It's only a few hip hop artists that can sit there and actually talk about shit like that. And XXX was not one of those. You understand what I'm saying? Tekashi 6ix9ine is not one of those. You understand what I'm saying? These internet kings are not those people. Period. So when he died and everybody started to, oh my God, Tekashi, I mean, not Tekashi, but XXXTentacion, he's passed and everything like that. I felt for him. Trust me, I felt for his mom and I felt for his family. However, it was so crazy to see how everybody, who, I mean celebrities that I follow that literally have talked down on his name, that literally have sat here and literally looked at this man like, yo, you know, posting him and everything like that. And that's fine. Where was that energy when he was alive? You understand what I'm saying? Like, his life when he was here, you understand what I'm saying? His life when he was here, he was not doing the best. He was trying to change around his life, I think. You know what I'm saying? But he was doing a lot that was not the norm, if that makes sense. You understand what I'm saying? So when he got shot, to me, I think his death is a sentiment. And now, something to look at. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you are falsifying and literally playing around with gang shit and sitting here running up on blocks like you've been there for 20, 30 years, like you've been in a gang for 20, 30 years, even 10 years, 5 years, bro, no. That's not what you do. That is not what you do. That's not even what that is. No. You know your lane. Stay in your lane. You understand what I'm saying? Stay in your lane. You're riding a wave that literally puts somebody in the ground. This is what riding a wave gets you. This is what this gets you. You want to ride this wave so bad and make this money, but your life is at stake. And we just, and literally somebody just took a life. But you know what? I think we need to look at it like, you know what? I think these internet kings need to look at it, and I'm talking to y'all right now. You need to look at it. You need to look at it in a whole. You need to literally reevaluate your whole life with this death. You feel me? Because he didn't die just because it wasn't like a somebody trying to set him up, which I hope it wasn't, but somebody kill him like that, just because. You feel me? Because you was talking that shit. Real gang nigga. Talking. Shot you. That's gang. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you're not about to sit here and keep falsifying shit. Because these gang niggas don't play, these street niggas don't play that. They don't play that. You have to understand the rules. There is rules to that. It's levels and it's rules. And that is something that I don't know. So I don't play with it. But y'all are playing with fire. Y'all are literally playing with fire, and somebody just got burned. Somebody just got burned for playing with that fire. And I need everybody to look at it like, you know what? Life is fucking too short. We got to stop doing this. We got to start riding a wave, riding this particular wave. You understand what I'm saying? So 2XXX, his family, his friends, I am really sorry for your loss. Honestly, I really am. But I want you to look at it as something now, as a monument in a way. You know, we need to now sit here and look at his life and say, you know what? We can't live like that. We can't keep falsifying shit like this. We can't keep perpetrating shit like this because our kids are dying. He was 20. He was 20. 20 years old. Now, did he beat his girlfriend? Yes, he did. Can he not change? He can change. He can definitely change. You feel me? But I'm not about to sit here and cry over somebody who has sat here through his music and perpetrated something that should not be. You understand what I'm saying? My heart is heavy, but I'm not about to sit here and give it, you know, that much feeling and thought, because I've heard your music. I've seen what you've done. I've seen your videos and everything. And I wasn't the biggest of fans. I seen you when you was, you know, I seen your live videos when you were trying to talk some shit to these kids, which is good. You know, you're trying to use your platform to do better. But still, I hope these internet kings look at him and say, you know what? I need to stop. I need to stop. I don't think it's going to be like that, but I hope in my mind and I pray that these rappers nowadays who are literally getting these tattoos, thinking they Bloods and Crips and gang, all that shit. I think y'all need to chill. I really think y'all need to chill, because the more you perpetrate, the more your life might get took. So that's all I'm saying. And like I said, I might get backlash from it. And that's fine. This is my opinion. This is here to start a conversation. The Opinionated Brother is not here to change your mind. It's here to start a combo. Antoine Rose, bro. Jesus. So much death. So much. Antoine Rose. Kid from Philadelphia, I believe. It was either Pennsylvania. Yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My ass. Antoine Rose, he was 15, shot by a new cop at that. Shot by a new cop who just literally got his badge not even a day or two prior to this killing. Literally just got on the force. And you killed this young brother for nothing. 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 And you know what? I'm not even surprised. You know? It's just my young brothers are getting killed out here. Black and brown brothers. My black and brown brothers are getting killed out here. And it hurts. This is what's killing me. You feel what I'm saying? Innocent kids. These innocent kids, they are not even making it out of their teens yet. their team. And this is not even some... It's too much. Then with the Justice for Junior, listen, y'all. Hispanic male is in this convenience store. Five gang members roll up on him and stab him profusely. I mean, straight going in. I mean, if you watch the video, all you see is them grabbing him and literally just going crazy and stabbing him. Here's the gag. Here is the motherfucking gag. The motherfucking gag is these motherfuckers went to the family and said, "We apologize because we got the wrong boy." You did what? You got the... Oh, you got the wrong fucking boy. Now, what if I would have shot all five of y'all right now? Then what? Then what? Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong five dudes. No. What? You got the wrong boy? You had the wrong dude? Is that what you came to them with? You came to them with an apology and we got the wrong boy. We thought he was somebody. We thought. You have no thinking in your fucking brain. Let me talk to my gang affiliated brown brothers, black and brown brothers real quick. Stop killing each other, though. For what? For what? What are you killing each other for? First of all, this should just show you right here, this video should show you why killing each other literally leads to nothingness. And then you killed the wrong person in that. And then had the audacity and the obliterated gall and the utmost nerve to go to the family, sit there and tell them, "Yo, we apologize because we had the wrong motherfucker." At that point, I don't know about his dad or his mom, but if it was me as his parent, I'm spraying everybody. They have so much composure because if it was me, I'm spraying all y'all right now. You just took my son's life. You just took my son's life on Antoine Rose, on Junior. We are taking lives. Taking, and I mean snatching these motherfuckers for nothing. Nothing. Period. Nothing. Just seen another video about this white male cop who tracked his daughter, right? He tracked his daughter to a house that her and her black boyfriend, interracial couple, right, literally tracked her computer to her friend's house that they were going to, and literally told the black boy, told the boyfriend to get out the car. Black boyfriend asks, "Yo, what am I getting arrested for? First of all, you didn't read my Miranda rights. You didn't do shit. Get in the car, I'll make something up on the way." What? Oh, y'all are going nuts. Nuts. And then he found out that his daughter was in the car too. And was like, "What you doing back there? What are you doing? Oh my God." I'm sicketh. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sicketh. And when I tell you this, with the Justice for Junior, with Antoine Rose, and in Antoine Rose's funeral, his mom is actually doing the Mammy Till funeral. And if you don't know the Mammy Till funeral, when Emmett Till got murdered and slaughtered by white supremacy, She had an open casket funeral to show the world what these bigots did to their son. And she's doing the same exact thing. Antoine Rose's mom is doing the same exact thing to show what you have done to my son. Yes. Yes. So now let's get into my favorite, the topic that we have been missing. Oh, Mr. Trump. All of this shit just comes full circle, doesn't it? Mr. Trump. Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. You understand what I'm saying? Shout out to Time Magazine for having that cover, because that cover spoke volumes. Do you know what? This is America. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was really amazing. So let me start off by saying I'm not surprised at anything that America does anymore, especially with the Trump administration. I'm not surprised anymore. You know, a lot of people get surprised at what Trump does, at what is happening in America right now. We have families, immigrant families, who are being pulled away from their, pulled away from each other. Kids are being, detained in detention centers. They're being detained in detention centers and literally taken from their mom and their pops. And then not only that, if they have siblings, they're getting split up as well. Girls on one side, boys on the other. And you're telling me that these detention centers are for what? Like the zero tolerance policy? Are you serious? You serious? And see what I'm more mad about is that people are so shocked that America is doing this. You understand what I'm saying? Oh my God, they're splitting families away. Oh my God. That's how I know some of you are not up on everything in American history. What you forget is that Black history is American history. And what you forget is that since the 1600s, they've been splitting up families for years. For about 400 plus years, they've been splitting families up. They've just done it in different forms, in different decades, in different centuries. This is no different. This is slavery in a new form. Yeah, of course, they're not picking cotton. They're not, you know, doing manual labor. But you literally have kids on aluminum foil beds look alike, and they're literally split from their families. And you're telling me that what? You can't do anything? You can't release these kids? You can't get them back to their family? You know, it's a lot to take in. All of this is really, I like it. And I hate to say it like that, because I hate everything that's happening right now, but I like the fact that all of this is coming out. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people sit here and they say, I hate the Trump administration. I had a conversation with some of my coworkers. And I always tell people, I like that Trump won. And everybody looks at me like, what the fuck? You like that Trump won? What the fuck? Yeah, I like that Trump won. Do you see why? Do you see why? This is creating conversation. This is creating new... The ability to uncover so much. You understand what I'm saying? Because after Martin Luther King, after Malcolm X, after the Freedom Riders, after the Civil Rights Movement, everything started to fade back into the shadows. Think about it. Think about it. Everything started to fade back into the shadows. Racism, oppression. It was here. But see, once the white man started to give some black people some money, oh, you know, started to become Uncle Toms. Literally, we forgot. Some of us forgot who we were. Some of us forgot where we came from. And we were just like, oh man, the white man is now on our side. No, they were never on our side. They're just doing what needs to be done. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm not surprised anymore by what happens in America. What I'm now appreciative of is the fact that I have a bigot in office and literally you can't hide. Nobody can hide this race, their racism. They can't hide their oppressive state. They can't hide the discrimination that they have against others. They can't hide shit. You cannot hide in this administration right now. And that is the beauty in this. And that's what we have to look at right now. It's so much negative shit that's going on. And it hurts. It kills me. But you have to look at it in another light. This is where my four-dimensional mind comes in. I'm glad that Trump won. Why? Because now this uncovers all of it. All of it. Like, we've uncovered bits and pieces. No, we're about to uncover everything. Everything. We're about to uncover a lot of shit. It's been uncovering over the last year and a half. And it's gotten to a point where we're just like, whoa, this is a lot of information for us to take. This is a lot of information for us to hold inside. Slavery never died. It just changed forms. Slavery never went away. It only reinvented itself, just like mass incarceration. It never went away. It just reinvented itself. Slavery has reinvented itself into mass incarceration. Detention centers. Do you see what I'm saying? This is not a surprise to me, and I don't want it to be a surprise to everybody else. So where do we go from here? Now, we start planning. You feel what I'm saying? We start sitting here getting shit done. You understand what I'm saying? Our oppressor is literally pulling the strings. And everybody thinks Donald Trump is pulling the strings. No, somebody's pulling Donald Trump's strings. That's where we have to get to. I hope y'all still with me. Because literally, I want to say, literally, that's how I feel. Somebody, four white old men up there are pulling the strings. I wouldn't be surprised if George Washington, his brain was still in like a little incubator telling them what to do. Still trying to run the country from four to what? From like 300 years ago. Yeah. 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 I'm a theorist. My mind be wondering, but it wonders like that. But we are so shocked by these detention centers. We are so shocked. And it kills. It hurts. Because these immigrants who are coming over, quote unquote, illegally, are sitting here asking for help to get their kids back. They don't even have paperwork. There's not even anything they could do. For real, for real. So for me to sit here and be like, for them to sit here and be like, oh, we can help you, we can try to help, and everything like that. I don't get it. You know, some of the airlines have said we're not transporting kids anymore, blah, blah, blah. And Trump signed an executive order, you know, blah, blah. Ain't nothing. Nothing is changing right now. Nothing is changing until we make it change. Period. Nothing is changing until we make a change. And I told people, I said, we're going to have to deal with this for the next 2 years. We're going to have to deal with this for the next 2 years. So you better buckle up and get ready. Buckle up and get ready. And in my generation, I've always said that Obama was my first president. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yes, we've had 45 presidents so far. Obama was my first president that I grew up with that made me understand politics. Now I have Donald Trump. Now I have 45. Such a big difference. But you know what? It's opened my eyes to so much. It's ridiculous, man. So with all this shit in the world that's happening right now, I say this to say, be careful, be cautious, be to all my white associates, to all the white people out there who are racist, who are bigots, who are, you know, feeling as though your white privilege is being what snatched away. Don't feel like that. You've always had white privilege. You understand it? You understand? It's how you use your white privilege to help the next culture. You understand what I'm saying? And I know most of you don't know what the fuck culture is. I know most of you don't even know how to spell it. But it's something you're going to have to understand and learn. You know, you have to break the cycle. The new generation has to break the cycle. And I feel like it's crumbling. But at the same time, with my black and brown brothers being killed every day, I can see like it's kind of like a checks and balances act right now. So it's really heavy on my heart. It's crazy. But we're gonna get off that topic now. Lord have mercy. And we're gonna get into my MVP of the week, which is my best friend Miss Amber Hudson. My best friend. Listen, so my best friend Amber, we've been knowing each other since like freshman year. And she has been in my corner since like day one. And I love her so much. She is the epitome of literal black girl magic. She literally sits here and goes nuts. She's about to go into a master's program at UCF. She works for the Magic, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. She's literally everything. She's dope as hell. And I love her so much. And she gets my MVP of the week, period. Love you. Love you, best friend. You're doing so great. Keep doing it. So we're going to take a 5-minute break and we'll be back with the opinionated topic of the week. This is the Opinionated Pillar Podcast with your boy Devontae. We will be back. What's going on, everybody? What's going on? We are back with the second half of the show, the Opinionated Pillar Podcast with your boy Devontae. Listen, we are about to get into some shit. Do you hear me? Because I've been wanting to talk about this topic for a minute. And because, you know, hypermasculinity is a bitch. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm talking to a lot of people over the past week. I've learned that I am a lot more emotionally mature than most. So I want to ask the question, is there a problem with men showing their emotions, right? Because I remember being young, and I remember like my uncles and my cousins never telling me not to show my emotions, but they were always showing me how not to show my emotions. You know what I'm saying? They were not really emotion-based men. You understand what I'm saying? They were never the type to sit here and talk about how they felt, talk about their feelings, talk about what was going on, what was wrong with them. They always kept everything inside. And my dad, he was kind of different. You know, he was a person who really showed his emotions, at least from what I seen when he was alive. And he never really taught me not to show my emotions. You know what I'm saying? But it's a different type of sentiment when, you know, you don't have your dad. And it's like, how do I not show my feelings? You understand what I'm saying? So for me, I've always been emotionally mature than most. And I've always thought it was something to not have for a long time. My mom always taught me, or always told me, she was like, I have an open door policy. If you need to talk, come in and talk. You know what I'm saying? If you need to cry, cry. If you need a shoulder to cry on, literally come to me. You know what I'm saying? She always told me there is no reason why you should be holding all this emotion in. There is no reason why you should not cry because you get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Men hurt. And I want you to feel emotion. She always told me, like I said, I have an open door policy. So if you have anything to talk about, come to talk to me. And I think that right there started me on this emotion-based path. You know, I've always been the emotional type of dude. I don't mind crying. I don't mind sitting here telling you how I feel because I always had my mom and, you know, the women around me to tell me it's okay to show your emotions. However, it was, you know, some of my friends back then, and it was some of the dudes who I hung around that never really showed emotion. And it was weird that I would have to play both sides of masculine and feminine. You understand what I'm saying? And when I would sit here and show emotion, right, when a man shows emotion, it was always something about being gay, right? Always something about sitting here, oh, why are you showing emotion? You being gay and everything like that. And I'm like, am I gay for real because I just sit here and cry because I'm hurt? Am I gay for real because I sit here and low key, I would sit there and be like, no, I don't like niggas. Like, y'all ugly. No. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm just different. And see, during that time, different was being gay. Any type of different. I don't care how different you were back then in my generation. You understand what I'm saying? Any type of different was being gay. You know? So if your ass sat here and didn't, what? If you wasn't rocking with all the jockey niggas, you understand what I'm saying? If you wasn't sitting there chilling with them and your ass chilling with damn near all the guys. I was the nigga. You feel me? I think I've said this plenty of times. I was the man to sit there and have a bunch of female friends. Right? Had a bunch of female friends. Had about 2-3 dudes that came with like 8 girls. And we was just living. You know what I'm saying? And you would hear like, bro, why you hanging out with all them girls, bro? You gay or something? Like, why you know? And then when you hear that as a youngin, you like, well, shit, am I? No, I'm good. Nah, I like them. You know, I like girls. I just don't like the girls that I'm hanging with. You know what I'm saying? I just like being their friend. They cool as hell. And for me, I was in tune with my masculine side and my feminine side. You understand what I'm saying? At an early age. So it was like, niggas was too masculine for a nigga. You feel me? Like, y'all didn't have a balance. Nobody had a balance. And I couldn't hang with the girls I hung with because they got too emotional. You feel what I'm saying? The dudes had too much motherfucking bullheadedness to even understand. You understand? And I was that friend for women and men to come to talk about their relationship. Still am that friend. You understand what I'm saying? To actually see both sides. So I didn't know what that felt like. I didn't know how to really put it into words. I was like, I don't know what this feeling is. And for me at that time, I would mask these type of feelings. I would be like, I'm not going to talk about it. But, you know, I'm aware that I cry more than men. I cry more than most. I show my emotions more than most, and I'm more emotionally aware of my feelings a lot more than most men and women, right? So going through my relationships, I've seen a common thing with all my past relationships so far. And the common thing was me being a lot more emotionally mature than my exes. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't have a problem sitting here telling you how I felt, what it was. And for me, I always had to sit here and tug and pull at a woman's feelings. You understand what I'm saying? It was wild to me. It baffled me because I always seen my mom be both masculine and feminine because she really had to be. You know what I'm saying? She was a single mom and, you know, she had to balance, you know, being masculine and feminine because she really had to teach her young son what being a man was. You know what I'm saying? Now, she couldn't teach me everything, like I said before, but she really had to show me, you know, what it is. And like I said, that's why I know the game so well, because my mom taught me the game through a woman's eyes. So it's like, women can't play me like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, so even though I knew the game, I had to sit here and learn it on my own. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said, the common theme between my relationships was that I was emotionally more mature than all of them. You understand what I'm saying? I had to tug and pull and force communication out of damn near all of my past relationships. I had to force that communication out of you. I had to sit here and damn near scream and yell at you, have a fucking argument just for you to talk to me. You understand what I'm saying? And for me, over time, that shit got real tired. You understand what I'm saying? It got real tired. It really got to a point where I was like, okay, listen, I can't keep doing this. I cannot keep carrying somebody who is not on the same emotional wavelength as me. And I had to embrace the fact that, first of all, I'm more emotionally mature. And me and my friend was talking about this yesterday. We were like, you know, you are a different type of breed of male. You know, she was like, you have the ability, which most parents and most black parents and families don't have. You have the ability to sit here and talk to your mom about a lot of stuff. You were very open and honest. Me and my mom have a very, very, very great, wonderful relationship. Have we had some rocky times? Absolutely. Have we gotten into it? Absolutely. But me and my mom's relationship has grown exponentially over the past, like, especially over the past two, 3 years. We've always had an open door policy, but it's been to the point where, you know, my mom comes to me with advice and I'd be like, what you need advice from me for? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I give that advice. My mom has really shifted from being my mom to now my mom and my best friend, you know, and when you have your mom as now your best friend, you get to see like, oh, now I see where I get my emotions from, you know what I'm saying? Because I get my, this hard masculine form from my dad, of course, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm very emotional, but don't test me. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You can be good as the best, but as bad as the worst, but don't test me. You know what I'm saying? Like my dad instilled that in me, you know, but my mom instilled a heart in me as well. To have a heart, to have emotion, to have a big one as well. My mom always said, you have a big heart. My friends, I was talking to my friends over the week. Damn, you have a big heart. You want to see people win. You have a big heart. You cry. You care. You sit here and care about people that sometimes don't even need to be cared about. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. But it was a common thing through everything. You understand what I'm saying? So when I sat here and I had to learn that, okay, I'm emotionally more mature than all my past relationships. In all my past relationships, I had to look at it like, damn, I was carrying weight, right? I was carrying so much emotional weight, not just mine, but also hers. Because the fact that I have to tug and pull and sit and argue with you just for you to talk to me, we shouldn't even be together. We shouldn't even be, listen, if you are in any type of ship, you understand what I'm saying? Any type of friendship, relationship, anything, there should be times where I, as friends, first of all, if you are really friends, you're going to talk. You're going to understand emotion. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of my friends didn't cry until really they met me. And that's real. That's really real. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't cry in front of me for real. And when I started to cry in front of them, they felt that. They were like, bro, damn. Yes, bro. I sit here and I break down. And I tell my friends, you don't have to be hard in front of me. Men and women. You understand what I'm saying? Because in this world, everybody tells you have to be so bullheaded and you have to show your, as a man, you have to sit here and basically just cater to the family. Don't show your emotions. Sit there and just be that. Be an emotionless ball, just catering to the, no, because no woman wants that. For me, I don't want that. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want an emotionless woman coming into my life that does not have any emotion. What I've seen, though, is that I think I was more of a teacher, you know what I'm saying, than anything through my past relationships. Seeing that I had to sit here and carry this emotional burden in a way, and trying to teach them how to see, I'm not a teacher, right? I can't sit here and show you how to be more emotional. I can't show you how to sit here and be more. That is something you're gonna have to find on your own, and I can't help. I can try to help you, but it's if you're able and willing to get the help. And most of my relationships were not able and willing to and wanting that help. You know what I'm saying? And of course, I was overly emotional. I was overly emotional. I had to calm my emotions down. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean I lost them. I just had to calm them down. I had to reevaluate myself. So when it comes to men having emotions, I feel as though men need to have emotions. And the thing about it is, I don't understand why some girls get so taken back by a man who shows them emotion. Because this is what women ask for. Am I not correct? Right. So if you're asking for something, right? Come on now. Like, let's get back to the power of healing. If you ask for something, God is going to send that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you may not be ready. Okay. You may not be ready for an emotion type of a man to sit here and put you in your place, to sit here and cry on your shoulder, to sit here and tell you, I'm feeling hurt. I'm hurting right now. Can I talk to you? That throws women off. That throws some women off, especially to some, most of the women that I've seen, that I've entertained. You understand? That I've been in relationships with. That throws them off. It's different because you see, When you see their families, you see the reason why it's so different. You know, their dads are not emotion-based type men. You know, they're just so get to the work. You know, I don't really want to talk about shit. And, you know, that's not what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? If I talk about it, I'll talk about it, and, you know, it's over. I was never that type of dude. I want to talk. And I want to get to the bottom of it. And I want to sit here and let's have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? The thing with me was, is kind of crazy. It's flipped, right? I kind of played like the girl in the relationship. And most of my relationships with the woman, they're more of a masculine than a feminine, right? And that's fine with me. I've always loved more of a masculine woman anyway. You know what I'm saying? Even with, you know, me balancing masculinity and femininity. I've always loved a kind of a bullheaded type of a woman who takes charge, very independent. I've always liked women like that. Never had a problem with that. The thing is, you're more masculine. So masculinity tells us that, like I said, it tells us that, you know, you don't show emotion. You're very driven oriented and you go get it. You don't talk about your emotions. That's the part where we have a problem because I'm so balanced that I can sit here and talk to you about what I'm feeling, cry on your shoulder and tell you what's up. And the fact that some men have to hide that, I don't like that. That doesn't make you gay. That doesn't make you sit here and let you say you like men. No, that makes you more aware of your feelings. You're in touch with your feminine side. And that's okay. That's actually great. But see, women get afraid of that because some of them are not in touch with theirs. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where some people lose each other. You know what I'm saying? That's where people disconnect. Because if you're not in tune with oneself, you're not going to be in tune with somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? So having emotion as a man doesn't make you less of a man than it does not having emotion. You know what I'm saying? I think more men who have emotion, and show that type of emotion, or emotion period, just wanting to talk and growing in that emotion, showing that feminine side and everything like that. And feminine side is no, not wearing dresses. Like when you hear feminine, everybody thinks about being gay, being, you know, sitting here and shopping in the women's section and all that bullshit. If you thinking like that, just don't listen to my podcast no more, because I don't need your one dimensional ass listening to me right now. Seriously. Because that's not what it is. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not here to settle for mediocrity. And me being so well-versed in everything that I do, I've seen that mediocrity is okay for some people. You're good with mediocrity. Me? Hell no. I can't do mediocrity anymore. I can't sit here and just, you know, keep carrying emotional weight. You understand what I'm saying? That I keep having to tug and pull and tug and pull and tug and pull and tug and pull. You know, you keep tugging and pulling, trying to get to their heart, and they not letting you in. Okay, you know what? I'm through. The crazy thing is that what I've seen through most of my relationships is that when you back away, when you're in a good man, emotional man, and you're showing them what they wanted in the first place, women get scared of that. Women are very taken by that. Some women are very scared. They're very taken by it, and they sit there and be like, whoa, I don't know if this is what I really wanted. Okay, well, you know what? Well, I'm going to back away too. Once you back away, once the man backs away and starts doing his own thing, oh, it's a whole totally different story now. Why you haven't did this? Yada, yada, yada. What you doing? No. I need 50-50. I need equal and equity. You know what I'm saying? Now listen, I'm the type of flexible to where if you're on a path of trying to get your communication better, if you're trying to communicate with me, even if we have an argument or a conversation, or even a debate, and you sit here and tell me, listen, Ty, I'm not really good at showing my emotions, but I love you enough to sit here and try. If you tell me that, we gonna try. We gonna do it. We gonna go there. You feel me? Because there's flaws that I have that some of my past relationships, they literally cater to those flaws because that was, you know, when you have a flaw, that person that you have has the ability to maybe have the not have that flaw. So they're like, okay, we can work on that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a work in progress just like everybody else. And when you come to a relationship, it's working. It's working in progress. You have to compromise. You have to compromise. I don't think a lot of us in my generation understand the word compromise. There is no, okay, you have it your way or the highway. You have it my way or the highway. No. Pause. Compromise. You have to sit here and be able to compromise with your significant other. And I know I'm talking to some people right now. I know I am. You have to be able to compromise. Some men are emotional. And that's okay. It's only a few percent of us who have that ability to be more emotionally mature than most men. I'm cut from a different cloth. You know what I'm saying? I move different. I'm a whole different type of breed of man, of black man. Like I said, I had the ability to have an open door policy with my mom, so open to the point where I show my emotions to her. So I don't have a problem showing my emotions to women. The problem is women don't know how to take that. Women, some women don't know how to embrace a man showing his emotions. But the crazy thing is we ask for it. And then when you get it, you get scared. What are you scared of? This is what you asked for. Don't be scared of what you ask for. You understand what I'm saying? Especially if you prayed on it. Especially if this is something that you want and you see happening. Most women get scared. Most men get scared. You understand what I'm saying? Men get scared of emotions too. When they start feeling emotion, men get scared. I see that in most men. Men get scared when they see emotion because they don't know what that is. They don't know what emotion is. And I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, I don't want you to be hard around me. You can cry around me, bro. You need to talk. Come talk to me. Come sit here and sit down with me. You want to roll up? We can roll up. We could cry together. I can tell you what's up. This is what I'm saying. Hypermasculinity has gotten so bad. Like I posted a picture on my Snapchat and on my InstaSnap, and it said, shout out to Carlos Miller of the 85 South Show and Wildin' Out. I fuck with him. He said, never give up on your niggas, bro. And that's real. Never give up on your niggas. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my bros to sit here and be like, you can't sit here and cry and come talk to me about things that are happening in your life that you are hurting about. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know now. You know what I'm saying? We know each other. Me and my bros know each other to a fault, to a T. We've been rocking with each other for about six years? Lord have mercy, 6 years? Yeah. Almost a decade. You feel me? We've been rocking with each other for so long that we know each other. We know when something wrong. When we call each other and we like, yo, we got to talk. Oh, snap, what happened? And I will be on the phone crying to them. You feel what I'm saying? They will be on the phone crying. And listen, it's happened. And it's okay. It is really okay to be in a group of men and to see, like, I hate when I hear women saying, oh, I don't want an emotional man. Then what the fuck you want? Somebody to beat your ass every damn day? You want a nigga? You basically just want a hood nigga. Because hood niggas don't got no damn emotions. They'll tell you that right now. You want a hood nigga. Okay, well, you get a hood nigga. You go ahead. And you let him beat your ass every damn day. Go ahead. Because he has some broken shit in his past that he ain't even got together yet. Trust and believe me. When a man starts showing you his emotion, when you start seeing an emotional, you have to respect that. And you have to understand that. We have been taught, we have been raised, we have been literally cyborged in to not having emotion, to keeping it just family based. We take care of the house and that's it. I'm sorry, I'm so cut from a different cloth, bro. I'm gonna tell you what's wrong with me. I'm going to sit here and cry on your shoulder. I'm going to sit here and get angry. I'm going to sit here and get mad. I'm going to sit here and get sad. I'm going to have my emotions. So this is nothing just to say, like, we need to understand that men are just more than just this big ball of quote-unquote nothingness. Like they don't have any emotion because we do feel. We feel hard. It's a lot to feel. We as men sometimes don't know how to handle those emotions. You see, women have their groups, they have their packs, they can talk to each other, they can have wine and everything. Most men don't have that. Most men don't have it. They're walking around with emotion on their back and they're finding coping mechanisms to handle that pain, that hurt, that sorrow, that anger. You understand what I'm saying? They're looking for it. Women have a lot more I would say you guys have a lot more support with each other than we do men. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I told myself, and that's why I prayed. I said, I need a group of men who are going to be able to understand. You know what I'm saying? Understand me. I've never sat here and connected with a lot of men for real. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody wants to play the hard role. Everybody want to be so hard nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to, I'm, you know, cock diesel. You know, I don't show no emotion. Yeah, I'm a real man. What? You a real man? What, because you got arms that look like, a steroid just injected into your arm? Oh, because you can sit here and, what, bench press? Dog, come on now. I just feel like it's more to a man than just his physical appearance, his money, and everything that has been programmed in us to think about men. We have emotions too. You understand what I'm saying? We feel too. I'm one of those. And I'm an advocate for that. I'm an advocate for men showing their emotion, even when you don't want to. You feel me? I'm an advocate for men sitting here and being emotional creatures just like women. Maybe not just like women, but sitting here and showing their emotions, period. Just being emotional creatures. We're emotional. And as men, first of all, as black men, we have to do better to sit here and embrace this black boy joy that we have. You understand what I'm saying? We have to embrace each other. Ain't nothing gay about that shit. Like, let me knock that stigma out real quick. Ain't nothing gay with having a group of friends that you rock with, that you can talk to. Ain't nothing gay about that shit. And we need to stop having them stigmas in our heads. We need to stop doing that shit. Especially in the black male community. Seriously. With all this killing and all this, and all my black brown brothers dying so quickly, we need to stop trying to sit here and just be on our own. No, we need to stop that. We need to cut this tie of not trusting a lot of people. We need to stop sitting here trying to shy our emotions and be like, oh, I'm good. No, you're not. You're not good. You're not good. And it's okay to say that you're not good. It's okay to sit here and feel. It is okay to feel, my men. My black brothers, listen, it is okay to feel. To my men out there, it is okay to feel. So I just say that to say, listen, being programmed to not have emotion is not what men should be thinking about or even being. Honestly, you have emotion. You have feelings. Embrace those. Embrace it. Embrace the hurt. Embrace the pain. Embrace the anger. Embrace the sorrow. Embrace the happiness. Embrace everything that comes with it, and you keep moving forward. It's okay to be an emotional creature. It really is. Don't sit here and let no woman tell you, oh, you an emotional, you a pussy. The fuck? You right. You right. I still swim in that thing, though. You feel me? Don't matter. It does not matter. It will not change you. It will grow you. Let me tell you, it will grow you. I am literally a sentiment in that. It will grow you. So that's the show for today, man. Listen, I just want all my men to, I challenge all my men, especially my black men, to feel emotion. Stop coping. Stop real quick. Relax yourself. Get into a space and just feel. Be able to feel. Be able to feel that hurt. Be able to feel that anger. Be able to feel that pain. You know, like, we're going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be all right. So I appreciate everybody for kicking it with me. Man, you know, like, crazy. Episode 37, we still on the rockers, man. I was going to do the Opinionated Co-Host Month starting in July. However, I'm going to change some shit up. If you just want to be a co-host for a week, let me know. You're going to have to email me in my email box. at info@tyronzahicks.com. info@tyronzahicks.com. I'll put everything in the link in the description below and everything. But yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm still in school and everything, so I'm all over the place. I'm sorry for everybody, you know, who wants to be a co-host and everything and just trying to get me together for real. But seriously, if you really want to be a co-host, let me know for a week, for a Sunday. And I'm just going to be doing this through the whole type of, you know, it's not just through July. It's just period. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be a co-host, if you want to come up to Grand Rapids or you want to meet up, let me know. You know what I'm saying? Let me know. Hit me in the Let's Network box on my website, www.tyronzahicks.com. Or you can email me at info@tyronzahicks.com too. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to email me some music, you know what I'm saying? Hit me with that too. I'll put you on as, you know, the first. I'll put you on as my opening song. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still trying to support those. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to support people who, you know, are not really getting heard. You understand what I'm saying? So trust me. Trust me and believe. It's a trial and error thing with this. And I love it. I love it. I love it. What else do we have coming up, man? July is coming up really, really quick. July is going to be next week. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. What else? We're almost to 3,000 total listens. I'm kind of excited about that. That's really exciting because I just hit 2,000 not even about a month or two ago. And to see the growth in the Opinionated Brother podcast is amazing. We are now on, we are now on 5 platforms. We are on SoundCloud, of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music. We are on iHeartRadio and now Stitcher Radio. So if you would like, there's no reason why you're not listening to me. You know what I'm saying? I just want to let you know there's no reason why you're not listening, period. Because now I'm covered over 5 platforms. And I just found out that I'm covered even through more streaming platforms now that I'm on Apple Podcasts. Because when you put your podcast on Apple Podcasts, it low-key goes through a lot, like 6 different other platforms. So I'm on all streaming services, baby. Let's go. You feel me? Let me just give a round of applause to myself because that's just amazing. You know what I'm saying? Round of applause. It is amazing to just see this come to fruition. I knew when I revamped my company and my blog last summer this time, took a break. I remember me writing down, I still have the book, the notes and everything. I remember writing down my goals and I just wanted to be on 2 platforms. I literally just wanted to be on 2 platforms. And I remember when I first started my podcast, August 31st, 2017, I was on the Opinion Network. And I started doing my podcast just on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Just doing it on my phone. And it was amazing, you know what I'm saying, at first. You know what I'm saying? I was like 10 to 15 episodes in when my network literally said, you know, we're going out of business. You know, you got to have to transport all over all of your episodes to another hosting platform. And at that point, I was like, oh, my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And it was during the semester that I was on. It was my first semester being in my master's program. And, you know, I was on probation too, so I had to make the grades. So it was just so much stress right there. And made the grades, made the adjustment over to SoundCloud. And I took another break from December to January. And I said, you know what, we're going to get everything together. And from January on, it's been a hell of a ride. It's been amazing to see my podcast grow so much exponentially. I want to thank everybody that continues to listen to the Opinionated Brother podcast. I love you guys so, 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 so much. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all are amazing. I thank you for listening. And like I said, we are now on 5 platforms, maybe on 6, you know what I'm saying? you know, getting some stuff together here. But I appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week with another great show. And have a wonderful, wonderful last week of June. Make it count. And remember, understand life is right. Understand life is riding a bicycle. In order for you to keep your balance, you have to keep moving forward. Okay? So keep moving forward. Keep pressing. Keep grinding. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for making the Opinionated Brother podcast an amazing, amazing, amazing passion to do. I love doing this every week. Thank you so much. I love y'all. I will see y'all next week. Peace.